Okay, we got up to the very first word of the daf we're supposed to be doing today for a change. And so we're holding on daf zayin. Om Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi. We're going to have a lot of ma'amorim over here from Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi. Minayin Shakadosh Baruch Hu Mitzpalel. How do we know that God prays? The Maisad, till this point, we've spoken about the tefillin Shakadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth is, if we analyze a little bit more clearly what's happening here in the Gemara, after the sugya of Yisurin that was generated by Kriyat Shema Lamita, and the brief sugya of Masikin, which also came from Kriyat Shema Lamita, we went to discuss what appeared on the surface to be a question of Makom Tvila. So Makom Tvila had to do with the Kundok Obrina, Shamtei Tvila, the ideas of Kaveya Mokom Tvilato, Akadosh Baruch Hu, Shoyal Allah, the importance of Mokom that we learn not from Avram Avinu. But in the broader sense, the concept of Mokom Shal Tvila also includes Tvilin. Tvilin are called Bayit. So in other words, there's a relationship specifically, so we don't put these two sugyas together. We have Minayin Shakadosh Baruch Hu Miniyach Tefillin, and we have Minayin Shakadosh Baruch Hu Mitpalel. The first part of the sugya is connected to the concept of Mokom Tvila, and yesterday's Gemara ended with the idea of leaving the Mokom HaTvila, and this causes Now, the truth is that that's a segue into a new sugya that is actually is subsumed to some extent within the previous sugya. Because really, we've been talking about Kriyat Shema without talking about God. It's sort of strange. There has been no presence of the Lord in our Masechet, really. We're talking about David HaMelech and his Shirot, the Tishbachot, the way that people speak, and so on and so forth. The question is, Tefillah ultimately, in Kriyat Shema ultimately, defines a relationship between man and God. And obviously, this is what the whole Seder is about, because it's all the Munah. And so we get here at last, that was triggered by the words of the Goremet L'Shkinah Shetisalek in Israel, we have now the idea, the Chalal, of the way in which the Shkinah is mitdabeket l'Israel, is concerned with Israel, the concept of the Chalal, of Hanhagat Hashem, and how that ties into a concept called Shkinah. So there's a lot of elements on this stuff that are exceedingly Kabbalistic, don't even make an attempt to conceal themselves, but on the other hand, they don't make any attempt to explain themselves. But the purpose of all of this is clear. In other words, we're coming to establish what that idea is of Hanhagat Hashem Ba'olam, which gives birth to the concept of Shechina. Om Rav Yezreb Chanina. Oops, what did I do here? Om Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Yossi. Minayin Shakadosh Baruch Hu Mitpalel. Notice the smoothness of the segue. Because yesterday we were talking about the concept of Makom Tvila. Now suddenly we discover that the Makom Tvila, which we related to in terms of ourselves, this is the place in which we pray, comes on the Gemara to say, this is the place in which it's Makom Beit Tvilati. It doesn't say Beit Tvilatan. It doesn't call the Beit HaMikdash a place where Klal Yisrael will pray. It talks about it as a place where Beit Tvilati, Kilo, I will pray. From this it's clear that there must be a concept of Tvila to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. My Matzli, what would he pray? What does Tvilot consist of? Om Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amarav, Yehi Ratzon Milafanai, Sheyechbeshu Rachamai Et Kasi, Viagulu Rachamai Amitotai Vetnai Vimbanai Vimidat Rachamim, Vekanes Lundisli Mishurat Adin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tvila is that may it be my will that I should conquer Midat Adin and go Lifni Mishurat Adin to be able to give the Tova that I wish to give to my children. Tani Omer Yishmael Ben Elisha, remember Yishmael Ben Elisha, who was from the Asarah, and he says that I once went into the Beit HaMikdash in Yom Kippurim, the following are shemot that refer to various elements of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're clearly not the names of Malachim or of a Malach, the way some of Farshim. Come, please come. Thank you. They're not the names of Malachim, because since this is talking about the time of the Ketoret on Yom Kippurim, it can't possibly be referring to a Malach, because it's prohibited for a Malach to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's called Adam. There is anything that has even a shame of relating to the idea of Adam, like Malachim called Ishim and so on, cannot come in to the Kodesh HaKadoshim at that time. So it's therefore a reference to various Shemes Hashem that the Marshal talks about, which means we're talking about over the meat of Keter. The olive of the shame for Keter is a reference to Ein Sof and so on. But in any event, I sense a yeshiva to say, and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to give him a bracha. So I told him essentially the bracha we just said, that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own tefillah. May it be your will that you should be misgather with midas rachamim on your anger. So that you should be able to use the keyach of rachamim, and that should be misgather over the din. And he nodded his head at me as if to indicate that's an excellent, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. Because Mashmalan, the sipur of this story by Yishmael ben Avisha, teaches us, don't think that just because you're only a human being, you don't have what to say in terms of giving a bracha. How do we know that it's inappropriate to attempt to cool somebody down at a time when he's really angry? Because God tells Moshe Rabbeinu a stranger thing. Essentially what he's saying is, okay, look, after I get over being mad, then we'll talk about it. So, I mean, if you can talk about it, so why not talk about it now? You're obviously able to talk about what I will do after I calm down, so why not just calm down? Right? So you see that it's inappropriate to discuss calming down at the time which is really for kas. So it's an inappropriate hanhaga. Don't ask me now for something which I should give to you only at a time that I'm calm. Wait a minute. Does that make sense? You're talking about b'sha'at kaso. Now obviously when Gemara says, and is there anger in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it can't possibly mean that question, since there's hundreds of psukim that refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger, and charonaf and kas. I mean, it would be a rather absurd question. So the question over here is that we're talking about sha'at kaso. We are understanding the comment to Moshe, that the comment itself is made in calm analysis of the situation. This is a time at which I'm angry. So therefore, let's talk about it later. Right? So you're telling me, in other words, there's a time in which you're angry. I mean, either you're angry or you're not angry. If you're angry, so then you should have responded angrily. And if you're not angry, why can't we talk about it now? So the issue is sha'at kaso. Right? That's the point. Is there a hanhaga, particularly of kas, in which it has nothing to do directly with the way that I'm responding to this situation? That's the problem. So is there such a thing? Because the Gemara, there is indeed. There is a kviut of a concept called kas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though it's not particularly responsive to a stimulus, so to speak, of kas. It's part of the hanhaga session. The tanya ve'el zo'in b'chol yom. So the pasuk says that God is angry every day. Now that means that there's a hanhaga of such. The kama zamo, how long is that anger? Rega, one instant. The kama rega, now it's a little bit strange because the amount of the rega, says the Gemara, is echad mechameshet riba v'shmonet alaf v'shmonet meyot v'shmonim shmona v'shmona v'sha'ah. Because it's 158,888 parts of an hour. So by the time HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have told Moshe, wait till my anger passes, then we'll discuss it, it was way after that time. So what in the world is that supposed to mean? Therefore the Mefarshim say that there it must be a sha'at kaso. In other words, there is a sha'ah, there is kavua around that rega. That rega is like the height of particular kaz, which we'll see that Bilam was capable of destroying the world with. But there's certainly a time that surrounds it, and that answers Tosis' question as well later on, which I'll tell you in a few moments when we get there. Good question. As I said earlier, you were impressive. As I said earlier, the concept of this entire daf relates to the Anhagas Hashem Ba'olam and is reached by recognizing that having a Beit Tfilah, which was the topic of yesterday's Gemara, actually means a Beit Tfilah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, in essence, the world is a place in which God can pray. The world is a place in which God can pray. Now that talks about a general hanhaga of an interrelationship between the Midas HaShemayim and the world. And I pointed out that the things that are discussed on the daf have very little handle to be understood simply, and actually openly discuss things like Shemais and so on, which are not mentioned generally in Shas. Those are the kind of things you'll find in the Kunizar and so on. However, we'll see that this page is miyuchet for names in general, the power of naming, and therefore it actually discusses these names, as we'll get to an Amud Beis. But there's a whole pattern of what's happening here, and obviously the idea of name is fundamental to the idea of hanhaga, because a name is a perception of what a thing is in terms of its interrelationship with the reality that I perceive. When I give it a name, I'm creating here a construct to define what that thing is to me. And all I see in the thing is the way it acts. I don't see anything else. If I give you a name, I don't perceive you really in any way. I simply see the interface between myself and you. So the name is an interface that affects now the way the world is. And these are the shemot that we're talking about over here in terms of the shemot Hashem. As far as this particular amount of time, that's also one of those issues which has to do with understanding the nature of rega itself. Now, in kol bir yayich olam chadeno tasha, the thing is that nobody can actually determine when that instant is, because the whole idea of it is randomness. So in having a random moment of anger, which is the source of randomness in the world, which is central to understanding the way the world is. In other words, if we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mani b'yerlon, how come the world is so random? It obviously makes no difference what you do. You can win because whatever it is, it'll always be an excuse. No, if you're a great guy and then something horrible happens to you, it's because some kind of kapora and because you're supposed to get your schar and shemayim. If you're an awful guy and something great happens to you, you always have, there's also a reason for that. There's always reasons for everything. For all intents and purposes, if you measure the response to someone who does good and someone who does bad, it doesn't make any difference at all. It's completely random. So that randomness, where does it come from in the world? So the Gemara, the randomness, the source of randomness, is actually this hanhaga rega, in which there just seems to be a for no reason response that the world isn't worth anything. That only one that can be named on that moment is the individual whose entire life was dedicated to randomness. That's Bilam. That's what he loved. So the whole concept of Bilam is that everything is essentially mikra, and he couldn't stand the attempts to give meaning to things, which really bothered him. It's related very profoundly to Amalek, who he was a Rebbe, really, of the Amalek. But that's the one thing that he didn't like. Remember, the Gemara says he couldn't stand the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be interested in a particular sperm cell. Remember, the Gemara says, he says, Mimispar Rova Yisrael. Mimispar Rova Yisrael says, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in reproduction. If he was interested in reproduction, you wouldn't need to waste 100 million sperm in order to get one that's useful. So obviously, that proves in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's the whole concept of carry, is mikra, it's all randomness. So reproduction itself, which is the most important thing in the world, is random. And that means that whatever comes out of the world is just sort of a throw of the die. Then it's ridiculous to attempt to find order and reason in it. And therefore, he's the one that was aimed on Rega. So the Yodea Da'at Elyon, where do we see this? It says, he's a Yodea Da'at Elyon, he knows the mind of God. Now, this idiot didn't know the mind of his own ass. So what do you mean he knows the mind of God? He was trying to figure out what his Chamorro was telling him, right? He can't figure out what he's telling him, because, boy, he's going to get him good. And he keeps his donkey is pushing him into the corner. He doesn't know where he's going. So he can't figure out his own animal. But he knows that the Yodea Da'at Elyon, the guy's got to be out of his mind. There was something special. He was responsive to the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu related to the world. And then he knew. This is so serious that it explains why actually Micha takes it so intensely, seriously. Because Micha says, remember what it was that Balak had paid for. What was the great thing that I did? You want to know how great I was? Just think about Bilam. Omer Rabbi Elazar, Israel. You should know. I really went out of my way to be exceedingly and specially nice to you guys. The entire time of Bilam Rasha's life, I did not have this on Hagar Rega at all. Because if I had, there would have been nothing left, not a piece left, of the enemies of Israel, which is a euphemism for Klal Yisrael. In other words, he would have successfully destroyed it. That explains why Bilam is in such a pickle, because, I mean, here he is, he's accepted the job, it's the most embarrassing thing in the world, he's been promised a pile of gold, and he can't deliver the goods, and Balak keeps saying, is something wrong with you? Was this like a whole fake out that you were supposed to be able to do this stuff? And he's trying to explain it. He says, Ma'akov lo kava'el, uma ez'am lo z'am Hashem. Richie, that hand there is the end of you. So if he's saying, well, how am I supposed to get angry when God doesn't get angry? He sensed that there was simply no, all of a sudden everything had changed, that there was nothing that he could latch onto. Which proves that indeed there was no Zam during those times. And that comes forth, we hadn't been zoning. And you see, Kama Zamo, you said Rega. The Kama Rega, and exactly how long in terms of, what could he say during that Rega? Omer Avin, Vitei Avina. Well, a rega is as long as it takes to say a rega. So Tosfos says, okay, so what kind of curse could you even get into a rega? I mean, if that's the case, if you're analyzing the time of speech. So Tosfos says, well, maybe you can say kale. It's fish mouth. But again, if we learn that rega, Tosfos suggests, later on we'll see why, that once you start, you know, you can keep going. But as we've already seen, if we're talking about a sha'at kaso, which revolves around the rega, then the knowledge of the rega can allow you to utilize that time. When we know on the rega ratach, how do we know that God's anger is a rega? Shinema ki rega biyapol chayim d'ritzono. Or it also says from here, chavi ki ma'at rega yavor za'am. So if you hide out for one rega, then the za'am passes. The imat ratach, during what time of the day will this rega come out? Omer Abai, well, you'll find it during those first 3 hours of the day. Ki chivra karbalta the tarnagula. If you got a chicken, that's when the comb of this, the chicken turns whitish, and it stands on one foot. Hey, baby, koshat of a shaitanami kami. I mean, anybody's looked at a chicken yard, sees them standing like that all the time. Yeah, but koshat deep shuriki is soon cake. Usually you got these, you have red lines at least through the comb. By ye shaita letle shuriki soon cake. During that moment, all of a sudden, there's no red lines. In other words, it's a duke, dabi bishvuguti, rabbi shuben levi. Rabbi Shuben Levi also had a neighborhood, like Barnea. And there was a tzeduki in that neighborhood, and he used to drive Rabbi Shuben Levi bananas. Always drive, always ask him, How about this verse? Does it say something about a virgin having children over there? And how about that verse? Doesn't it say my sheep suffered and all of that stuff? And I would have to sit there arguing with the missionaries all day long. It was driving him crazy. So he decided, okay, that does it. I'm getting rid of this guy. Now, how do you get rid of this guy? It's simple. You tie a rooster to your bed. You wait till it turns that color, and then you blast him with a kind of Kalola that Bill could have said. Here, Toaster says, what can he say that quickly? Again, what are you going to say? Maybe once you start, you keep blasting it. Yeah. Anyway, you can just imagine the scene. Here's Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. It's early in the morning. He's looking at the rooster over there. It's tied to his bed, and he's ready to blast. Okay. So he's got Shoko Tarnagulov, who may have been carried out. He ties him between the legs of his bed there. By anybody staring at this thing, as soon as that minute comes, pow! I'll tell you. So wouldn't you know exactly that minute he falls asleep? He knows what happens when you're waiting for that particular thing. That's when you fall asleep. Did you ever try listening to the weather report? It's incredible, because as soon as it comes to the temperatures in Yerushalayim, that's it. Your mind's somewhere.
Yeah. Notice.
It's unbelievable. So as soon as the moment came, he fell asleep. Oh my Shemami Allah Burakar Lebevatok. Apparently, it's not the right thing to blast this guy as if I'm Bilam the Second. After all, it says God has mercy on all the things that he created. And besides, even if not, it's not a good idea for a tzaddik to go around blasting people. Now the Maaseh Tosfos asks if this person was really a tzaddik, then the din is that you're supposed to be moridin velo ma'alin. You're supposed to be getting rid of this guy. Not in a way that you can get caught, but just like, borrowing his life preserver when he's in the middle of the ocean, or taking out the ladder when he's at the bottom of a well. Little things like that. Or maybe dropping in a bit of blood in shark-infested waters, But that may be a little too acid. Huh? So the Shiloh is this place. So what do we come in us with? You could say that about every case of Morina. If it says over here, we understand that it's not Saduki, and the correct gears is Akum. Okay, not supposed to hurt a guy, but this guy is an active enemy. So Tosfos says it could be that the shot is that there's a difference between using this Bilam-type magic, in which you're being matriarch, so to speak, using kochos milamala, and simply taking a ladder up. It's improper to try to use these various elements of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhoga. Anti-pulsa denura, yeah, exactly. And it's not to use things that you have a tivoi. Fine, you do what you can in terms of your tivoi. If you find the guy at the bottom of a pit, take out the ladder. But that's not to say that you should go and start using these spiritual kochos to try to get rid of a guy. However, that still leaves us with the question of rachamava kol ma'asav. In other words, are you supposed to have a response of rachamava kol ma'asav where you have a chiyuv to be mori? And that's really strange. So apparently, you do. In other words, if you have a chiyuv to have a particular hanhaga, then you have to respond with that chiyuv. But if you don't have that chiyuv, then the way in which you relate to the world has to be a relationship that transcends the particular moment. In other words, it's not if it's my business that this guy is dangerous and needs to be gotten rid of, then that's what I have to do. But if that isn't my business at this point, then the relationship to this individual still goes back to the fact that this is a person, or this is an animal, and so on. That's a call in general. So the hanhaga is one thing, and the way in which you view life is another. The same story is with Rebbe, and the sheep came running to him, right? But it's all very nice to say, but you're supposed to be food. But on the other hand, that's why the end of the story is when Rebbe stops the shifcha from throwing the cats out of the house. Because the question of anhaga doesn't change the mode of relationship that you're supposed to have to a thing. So if I'm not killing him, so then I have to recognize rachamava kol ma'asav. So they're not going to use HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anhaga to take the place of what I'm supposed to do. His rachamim is even here. Don't take that for granted. Otherwise, his parents doesn't really make any sense. Furthermore, it doesn't have to be the tzaddik's business to be the guy that's going to figure out how to get rid of the ones who are making trouble. Truth is that there's a lot to be angry about in the world. You got all these arrogant people that are running around thinking that they own the world. And this comes a minute in which it gets too much for you, Heck with them. The truth is, for a person, just to have a moment of facing up to reality in his own heart, of his own understanding, is worth more than having people beating him over the head. Because the truth is that we find, by Kalal Yisrael, that the way that the Pasuk defines the response of Yisrael finally to do tshuva, is it says, so okay, Ritfa et ma'aveh avalot asigotam. Kalal Yisrael runs after her lovers, so to speak, all of the various alien philosophies and umos that she was interested in all the years. She's going to look around, but she won't find them. So what happens? Let me go back to my first husband. He told me, things were better then than they are now. That makes a difference. That's something that you arrive at of your own. But all of the punishments and the Goliaths and so on, that didn't make it enough for me. Rish Lakish Omer, don't just say, Mikama Malkiot. It's better even than Mea Malkiot. Shedamar Techat Yara Bemevin Mehakot Ksil Mea. That one Yara, one rebuke, the power of that one rebuke to an intelligent person is worth more than 100 beatings of a fool. So in your own mind, the recognition of the truth of a thing, finally, is worth more than anything else, which is just externalized. I think that the point over here is the way that Gemara is understanding it is the Mevin and the Ksil is the same person. In other words, the Mevin is the element of the person is Mardus Achav, the Libosha Lada. The Lev is the Mevin. Whereas what happens outside and the way a person's personality develops is usually in the fool. So in terms of that personality, somebody hits you, you hit him back. But when you're talking about the Mevin element of a person, then he's responsive. Again, these are all my Morim of Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi. However, the thread of the entire daf, as I pointed out, is generated by the fact that a Mokum Tefillah, which was yesterday's daf, all daf, was Mokum Tefillah, base Tefillah, that a base Tefillah is actually Nogea Hashras Hashchina, and that there's such a thing as Beit Tefillati, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu Daven, and therefore we get to discuss the entire Hanhogas Hashem with the world, and we know where the primary place, where that is. We have the Yud Gimel Midos. We have Moshe Rabbeinu essentially asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will you please explain the way this thing is working, because it all makes sense to me. And that's where we really talk about Hanhogas. You have the whole Talmud Torah analyzing those Yud Gimel Midos in terms of how they fit into the other expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhoga in the Yom. So Shlosha Dvarim Bikesh Moshe Mlifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'natam. There were three special things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was asked by Moshe, and he granted them to Moshe. Originally, God didn't want to go with Klal Yisrael. Now, this doesn't seem to have anything to do with the daf, except for one little coincidence. The reason he didn't want to go with Yisrael is because rega echad bechilitika. If I get mad for a rega, you're done for. So Moshe Rabbeinu now is mispalled. He's mispalled that Shechina should be shown on Yisrael, which doesn't seem to address the rega. But nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to him. But then, B'kei Shelo Tishra Shechina Lo Tikachavik, which of course was the end of Bilam. And that does address the rega, right? And then, B'kei Shelo Diod Rachav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wanted to know the way that God runs the world. What is his Midas HaMishpat? V'natan Lo, and he gave that to him. Shenema Hodieni Na Et Rachecha. Amar Atanav Yibaron Shel Olam. Can you explain to me, B'kei, Ma Yesh Tzadik V'Tovlo, V'Yesh Tzadik V'Ralo, Yesh Rasha V'Tovlo, so the whole thing is just random. Come on. I mean, there's all types of consideration here. Maybe a tzaddik and tovlo might be the tzaddik who's a ben tzaddik. Of course, of his forefathers. A tzaddik varalo might be paying for the sins of his forefathers. Maybe he's a tzaddik ben Rasha. And a Rasha v'tovlo. Maybe the tovlo is because his father was a tzaddik. He's a Rasha ben tzaddik. Rasha v'lach varalo means he's a Rasha ben Rasha. Wait a second. That's not tzaddik v'tovlo, tzaddik ben tzaddik, tzaddik varalo, tzaddik ben Rasha. That's not true. V'aktiv doesn't say in the pasuk on the one hand, Poked Avon Avot Al Banim, Uchtiv Ubanim Loyum Tu Al Avot. Now, this is not a contradiction. On one hand, it says God punishes the children for the sins of the father. On the other hand, it says God will not have children dying because of their father's sin. Tzvamin and Kroya Adalim, we point out this contradiction elsewhere. Umishanina, you know the Teretz. Hakish Al Chazin Maaseh Avotahim B'Yadayim. The Hakish Al Chazin Maaseh Avotahim B'Yadayim. So it depends, basically, on the way that the child acts. If the child continues and builds on the acts of his father, so then he is essentially now the heir of that Hanhaga. So if his father was a Russian, he takes that rishus and builds on it further. Then there is an inyan of following the sins of the father. But if he's not being okay, avotav biyadav, he's a tzaddik. You tell me because his father was a Russian, therefore bad things will happen to him. It's ridiculous. He is basically a tzaddik. Forget about the fact that his father was a Russian. So does that make sense? If you can't give me the answer that that's why you have a tzaddik varalo, because his father was a Russian, if he's a tzaddik, you couldn't have Sadi Virado. Are you convinced this is a good answer? A good question? Yeah. Notice we've shown that the Gemara's answer is a bad answer. No. You've been prejudiced by the way that the question was phrased. If you take for granted, look, do we still agree that there's a difference between a Tzadik ben Tzadik and a Tzadik ben Rasha? Because, I mean, the Rasha who is Mazik, the way his father is going to get punished for his father. So why can't that be the Rasha of Aralim? And the Rasha of Etoblo, despite the fact that he's a Rasha, maybe it isn't that level of Rishas where he has the father and vice versa. Who says we're looking for an excuse of why things are bad for the tzaddik, and they say, well, it couldn't be bad for the tzaddik because of the father. You're right. Maybe things in general can be bad for a tzaddik. So, that wasn't your question. Your question is, why is it random? And I'm answering you. It's not random. What's the Gemara being deichadus for? You understand the problem? What do you say, Rich? You're with Moshe on this one. That's not the issue here. He wasn't looking. He never asked, why is it that it's not a kingdom? Obviously, everybody does something wrong in their life. So what I'm saying, if that's a given, then what's your problem? It's not because of the Rasha. It's not around it. The father is a tzaddik. Maybe he could be Megid. He's a tzaddik ben tzaddik. So clearly there is some type of anhaga of avon avot al abanim and vice versa. Right? The chesed al of dor and so on.
Maybe the difference is
because the Ikar Tzachari is what
I'm about to be. What happens in this world?
So why did you say that? That's the simple answer. You just say, actually, there's someone who learned that that's the truth, but later. But why did you just say that? But Sadiq Varalo is the one who is going to be Mishpat. Obviously, we're including that in the question. I mean, so why would we randomly decide? It's clearly random. You can't show me a statistical correlation between what it is, the type of thing that a person does and where it's going to be. You're not going to figure it out. His extended problem. Yeah, he's from Mikra. Yeah, but that's different over there because it sort of violates the etzem fact of Arichas Yamim. Okay, that's a different issue. You have to discuss Arichas Yamim. But over here, I mean, he's including that in the question. Anyway, so was there another approach? Maybe he told him like this. Maybe he said to him, Tzadik Vitovlo, that's a Tzadik Gamur. By the way, you should know Tzadik Ben Tzadik, Tzadik Ben Rosh, and so on. In the Zohar, is a reference to Gilgul, not the Bible. It's one of their elements of where a person previous Gilgul has to do with the way that his Don Hardash and I understand. Elohi Kamala, Tzadik Vitovlo, maybe that's a Tzadik Gomor. So why should he suffer? I thought we said before there's Yisroel Shalav. Anyway, what happened to that whole thing? This Gemara sure doesn't seem to be really trying to provide any serious solutions, I think, or even serious questions. Tzadik Varalo, maybe he's a Tzadik Sheino Gomor. Rosh Vitovlo is a Rosh Sheino Gomor. Rosh Varalo, Rosh Gomor. Now the truth is that this whole approach to trying to give an answer that Moshe, that we claim that Moshe was given an answer, is not a Liba to Rebbe Meir. It's Pligid to Rebbe Meir, not Rebbe Meir. Shtayim Nitnulo. Yes, two out of his three questions. The Benitlino Anive Amcha, that Vani Chosilach, and I'll take you in Teretz Yisrael. Yes, that yes. But not the third one. And we know that he was not given. Achad lo nitnulo. And I'll prove it to you. It says in the Pasuk, V'chanotia, that God's answer to Moshe Rabbeinu's problem of randomness is, there's people I like and people I don't like. V'chanotia t'asher al-chon, v'chanotia t'asher al-achem. I mean, that sounds about as random as it could possibly be. So it certainly didn't give any clues to Moshe. V'chanotia t'asher al-chon, as Rashi says, Alpha Pishen Rokitai. What's your problem? Why? Because I like him. So if that's the case, the whole question then wouldn't arise. What did he tell him? He didn't tell him. Vayomer lo tuchal erot et panai. Adarava. His response to Moshe is, you will not be able to understand that. Taner to bishmei Rav Yeshua ben Korcha. Kach amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe was like this. Listen, Moshe, I'm really fascinated by the fact that you'd like to know. You know, I once wanted to tell you. And that was back at the snare. So what did you do when I exposed myself to you? You turned away, okay? So kisharatziti, I wanted. Lo ratzita, you didn't want. Achshav she'atarot, so now you want. Okay, now I don't want. So therefore, Ufligit Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Yom Reb Yonatan, Yom Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Yom Reb Yonatan, this approach of Reb Yeshua ben Korcha, that Moshe Rabbeinu was wrong in turning aside, is the opposite of Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni's approach. Because Yom Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Yom Reb Yonatan, Bishar Shalosh, Zachal Shalosh. Because of three responses that Moshe Rabbeinu had at the Sneh, he was Zocher to three very special things later in life. Bishar Vayaster Moshe Panav, Zachalik Lester Panim, later on in his life, he was Zocher to that shine, and that was because he didn't want to take advantage of seeing what was beyond him. Bischarki Yarei, Zachalav Yerumi Geshetelav. Everyone was feared him the way that he feared HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bischar Mehabit, he didn't want to stare. Zachalik Munat Hashem Yabit. So obviously he was doing the right thing. Couldn't possibly be, as Rabbi Yeshua was claiming, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at him for not taking advantage and for spurning the offer, so to speak. I was ready to tell you everything, then you didn't want to know. So now it's convenient for you. Now you're curious. Now you think you can handle it. Well, you know what? I don't think so. So, okay. That's two completely different approaches. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to uncover you. In other words, because up until that point, we had, he was in the Nikrat Atzura, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was protecting him. But you know, HaSirotiyat Kapiv V'ra'itat Acharai. After I pass by, you'll be able to look at me from behind. Ufanai lo yera'u. But you will not be able to see my face. Omar Reb Chana Bar Bizan Rishimon Chassidah Malamik She'ereh HaKadosh Baruch Hu So in other words, this now is Mechaberos, the Sugya earlier, in which we saw that the Kesher Shal Tefillin, the Tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Oz, and that is a way in which it's possible to be Omed on his Anoga. And what Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see was that Kesher, and that to understand, by the way, is a Kabbalistically, Panaylo Yera'u, you'll never be able to figure out how I'm going to respond. But V'ra'itat Achorai, you'll be able to understand how I responded, which is in fact so true about the nature of life. In retrospect, after a lot of time, things begin to to make sense. But you'll never, ever be able to predict anything. You can be the biggest chacham in the world, as Shlomo HaMelech says. You know? There's nobody going to tell you where that tree is going to fall. So that's the remez in Ra'ita Tachorah. Amr of Yelter Mishu Reb Yossi. Furthermore, Kol Dibur V'Dibur, Shiatzani Pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Tova, Afilo Atznai Lo Chazar Bo. Anything which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, even when it was conditional, he never changed it, because he told Moshe Rabbeinu, Heret Mimeni Ve'ash Midein Ve'eseot Chalagoyat Su Mitoz Moshe, look, if you leave me alone, then I'll turn you into a great nation after I destroy the rest of these idiots. So Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, didn't allow that to happen, and he said that, Mechinin HaMitzir Prachashir Katavta. Nonetheless, Apagad Debo Moshe Rachmi Allah Demil Su Bitla. Even though Moshe was Mavakish Rachmi to be Mavato, that Gzair against Israel, the Haftachav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's going to turn Moshe into a Goy Gadol, is nonetheless, in history, is kept. Afilo Ochi Ukuma Bezare. That Haftacha stood for Moshe's children. Shinema B'nei Moshe Gershom Ve'Eliezer, Ve'yu B'nei Eliezer Rechavya HaRosh. And this Rechavya was the only son that he had. Ve'ayal Eliezer B'nei Machirim. U'v'nei Rechavya Robu Lema'ala. What do you mean, Robu Lema'ala? Lema'ala from what? Tanir Rav Yossi, Lema'ala Mishishim Riba. Because we learned that out in Revi'a, Tivacha, Robu Lema'ala. Here it says by Rechavya, of course that's the Lashon of Rechavya, is that they were Robu, and it says, U'v'nei Yisroel, Poru V'yishvu V'yirbu. Just like over there, by Yubu Ma'od Ma'od. The result of that was a nation of 600,000. So too, the B'nei Rechavya were in fact a haftach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Eseot Chalagoy Atzum. So Moshe Rabbeinu himself ended up with 600,000 descendants from B'nai Rechav. It doesn't say whether it's Nogad at this time at all. It might be home, it might be, hasn't happened yet. You say that ultimately these were his descendants. Now again, we are talking about over here Hanhagot Hashem. Obviously, the very Shemot Hashem are central, and we started the stuff with a Shem, and now we're going to discuss the concept of Shemot and who gave Shemot and who was omed on these Hanhagot. And clearly, the implication of the Gemara is that the discovery of the Shem is a creation of that Hanhagot. In other words, if an Adam cannot respond to that anhaga, then there's no presence of that anhaga. That's like Baruch Hu says to Amram, you know, you made me Elohei Aretz. Before you, I was only Elohei HaShemayim. We say Elohei HaShemayim, Elohei Aretz. Or we had the Gemara before. Et HaShem HaMircha Ayon. HaMarta Ayon. HaShem HaMircha Ayon. Say, HaMarta, you, Atem Asituni Chativa Achat Olam, as the Gemara said, right? So here we need to recognize the development of Yisrael and the perception of these various Shemites. So the first one that called HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon was Abraham. The Kor'o Adon, he came along and he was omed on the Shemar. It says about Abraham, Vayomar Adonai, that's the first time that we find that. Elohim, Bema Edaki Irashena. So Rashi points out, we have way back at the time of Noah. There it says, Baruch, except it uses the Shem of Yudke Vavke, Elohei Shem. Rashi, that's the whole point. Yes, that Shem, fine, but never the Shem of Adonai. That was never found. So this is created the concept of adnut in the world, that there's mastery, that our relationship to God is the way one would relate to someone who actually has ba'alut. That is something that Avraham Avinu, that's konan, konei shamayim ba'aretz. Right? This is the way he reckons. Kinyan is ba'alut, which is b'fakes you the adon. Omer Rav, Avdanil lo na'ana, I love Yisrael Avraham, this anhaga lasted for millennia. Shemar, v'yata shema Elohino atzvilat avdecha ve'otachununa, v'er panecha migdashecha hashamim lema'an adonai. Now that's really weird. You're talking So you should say Leman Chan. What are you saying? Yeah, Leman, and then you use the shame. I mean, well, why am I talking to you? Leman Chan, Iboile. Why didn't he say Leman Chan? Ela Leman Avraham Shikara Achadon. In other words, the Mokom HaMikdash, where Avraham Avinu was the one who first came, Vayart HaMokom Mirachok, the Kayach of that came from his recognition of Avdut, and even though there was no Beit HaMikdash, there's still that power of the Akor and Hanhoga for which Daniel is being Melakish Rachamim, for our Eretz Panim on the Beit HaMikdash. We had exactly the same mimer earlier, except there was Rabbi Yossi. And it was from Rabbi Yochanan. As Lach says, that Rabbi Yochanan learned by both, and therefore, since he had been Makabal separately, this mimer from Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and Rabbi Yossi from Bizna, he mentions both of them. He mentions the mimer separately from each one. Where else would we do this besides a stuff like this? But a way in which your perception of the world is overall is a definition of what you're saying. So when Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says it, it means one thing, and Rabbi Rabbi Yossi says, means something else. I have to say it over both of their names. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, another mimer of Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The Yom Shebarah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Talamo Lo Haya Adam Shehoda HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ad Shebahata Le'ah Ba'odata. There was no one who had given Hoda to HaKadosh Baruch Hu until Le'ah Kimara. Shema HaPa'am Hoda At Hashem. What is HaPa'am? In other words, this is the first time in history that that has happened, not just in my life. So that concept of Hoda then derives from Le'ah, which of course creates Yehuda, and from Yehuda we have all of the elements of Hoda in the world, including Dovin HaMelech and so on, as you wait around. Re'uven. What's the meaning of the name Re'uven? Omar Rabbi Elazar, Amram Le'ah. Ru'u ma bein b'ni le'ben chami. Look at the difference between the way my son will be and the son of my mother-in-law, in other words, Esav. The ilu ben chami, Esav ha'rasha. Even though he sold the Bechorah out of his own free will. Look at the way that he acted about it. Look at the Torah's made on him. But he hated him. Blamed him for what he himself had done. Saying, even though Yosef ended up taking the Bechorah, essentially, and he became Ephraim Umanasheh, and he took it away from him without his selling it or wanting to get rid of it. We find out later, in retrospect, in Divrei HaYomim, that even though Bnei Reuven Bechor Yisrael, and it says Beferish over the Ki Hu HaBechor, Reuven Ki Hu HaBechor, he was the Bechor, was known to be the Bechor. Then it says, Ubechalalo Yitzray Aviv, he went ahead and did what he did over there, then it's not Bechor HaTolatei Yosef. So that was something that certainly he didn't want. Nonetheless, he never took it out on Yosef. That was never an issue. And on the contrary, he was the one that attempted to save Yosef. Root. So what's the name Root? My root, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Shezachtav Yatzami Mena David, Shirivahu LaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shirot Tishmachot. Out of her came the Rivayon. They show this Rivayon. What's that sense of real satisfaction of a drink? Only roots could do that. And that comes from the Hanhaga of the bubbling Shiraz B'Tishmachot, that up until the time of David, Tefillah, imagine what Tefillah would be without the Elite. Root beer. And a 90%. Pardon me, come on, Nandi. Root. How did you with that?
Root beer,
my name didn't like it. In any event, imagine to feel out without tefillin. It's not just an addition. In terms of Amhagas Eilon, David is called tefillah, needs tefillah. He was the one who was b'yaseh. All of our relationship to tefillah, he shows us what it's like for an individual to be aimed at the work of the tefillah. We listen in to tefillah from tefillah. So he was the one that was merava in these issues. Minolan de shmokogor. Satiation, but it's different than sevia.
Oversaturation?
No. There's a satiation that comes from drinking. You'll notice that shvuas is sova, which is filling, but that's for food. There's no sova in drink per se, but there's revoya in drink. Rus's element in the shvuas sova is revoya. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. But what you can do is you can come shvuas night, we have an all night. So how do we know, says Rebbe Eliezer, how do we know that names have any meaning and actually cause, when to talk about Reuven, it's in terms of the future. Reu ma bemi. What's she talking about? We're defining a person before it ever happens. So apparently there's some relationship in exactly the same way. We know in the same way that we have now the inyanim of the shemais on the daf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which that construct has now, the mokum of behavior. How do we know that the name of a human being is an equivalent construct that allows the world and his life to develop along that name? By the way, Tolkien wrote that when he was writing The Lord of the Rings, all of his work was only to give the name. Having given the name, the story wrote itself. It's exactly this idea. So how do we know that a shame defines the concept? Because it says, L'chu chazu mifalot Hashem. Look and see that which God has achieved in the world. Asher some shamot ba'aretz, who has set areas of destruction on earth. Al tekrei shamot ela shemot. The way it says, he set names, and that's his mifal. That's the, we say today, mifal chayav, so to speak, of a person. That's his ulra. So this is the mifalot Hashem, the names, and that's everything. V'yom Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Kashe tarbut ra'ah b'toch beito shel adam yoter mimilchemet gog u'magog. You know, it's worse having a problem in your family than Gog u'Magog. You know, everybody thinks, oh, that's as bad as you can get. Mechemes Gog u'Magog, that's horrible. But we see that when it comes to David HaMelech's response to running away from Avshalom, so it says, Mizmor leDavid b'Borchov b'Bnei Avshalom b'No, and continues in the Tehillah to say, Hashem morabu tzarai, I'm in terrible tzaras. Rabim kamim alai. And then he goes and he talks about Mechemet Gog u'Magog, and it's no big deal when it comes to Mechemet Gog u'Magog. There he says, Vama rokshu goyim, ulhu mim yehagurik. He doesn't say anything about Marabut Sarai. Now these are two tehillahs, one next to the other. Mechemes Gog u'Magog is no Marabut Sarai. And he goes right next to him, oh, Marabut Sarai. That kind of kid is making me crazy. You see, that a kid making you crazy is worse than Mechemes Gog u'Magog. Mizmor le David b'borcho mipnei Avshalom b'no.
Yisroel LeDavid. I mean, we shouldn't say Kina LeDavid. I mean, it's a pretty miserable thing. You're singing about the fact that you're running away from Absalom, and of course, speaking about the daf, in which a name is important. Omer Reb Shimon ben Abishalom, Mashal Ma'ad Avar Domeh, L'Adam Shiasal Ashtar Chol. Here's a guy that is expecting a bill from the IRS, and he's miserable. Because you never know. You just never know. So Kodem Shiporo Hayatsu, before he had to pay the bill, he's miserable. He gets the bill, he pays the bills. You think he pays the bill? He's even more unhappy. No, he's relieved. It's behind me. The heck with it. It's over. I'm not going to think about it anymore. So over a year or two. Told him after the whole story about Sheva. You're going to have problems out of your own home. He was worried about this all the years. Shema Eved, Mamzer, who God only knows. I mean, maybe it'll be somebody who'll have no rock on him. The whole Chai Yisraelite. Kivan dechazad Avshalom, after he saw it's Avshalom, Samach. Then he was happy, because he figured, the son, Sof Kosof, will have some kind of feelings for his dad. Mishumachi Amar Mizmor. And therefore he said, Mizmor L'David. Now you'll ask, I mean, you couldn't get much more rotten than Avshalom, who was ready. Like, what didn't he do to his father? Son, shouldn't it be beautiful? Absolutely stunning. There's no question that it's Russian. Emes Lamite. I don't remember who killed him. But he says the most amazing thing. The fact that Avshalom accepted the advice of Hushia Arki against Achitophel was because deep down he wanted his father to accept. He knew that Achitophel was sensitive. And there's no other explanation for it. There had to be some mokum in which you can give a reasonable sense of what was going on. He didn't want his father to be caught and killed. So he's listening to Achitophel. He knows Achitophel. Go get him now. There's no way he's going to survive it. And it hurt. He was fine. I got to give him a little chance. So when Hushia comes up with this other idea, he takes it. Because of that, David HaMelech was able to be Malim from Gehenna. Because he maintained that relationship. So in that relationship, the Avshalom Bini. Why is he saying Bini? Because I'm alive, because he was my son. So that relates back to the Mizmor LeDavid, and he was Meister Nashrei for being my son. That's the Avshalom Bini. It's a beautiful child. No,
it was George Lucas.
Astounded by that. One of the finest I've ever seen in a single.
Can we learn from the fact that the mom is said Ben Avishalom or something? As well? Avishalom, right?
Yeah, sure, of course. Well, this beautiful, I thought it was a beautiful mimer, in fact, a whole book by Reuven Margolius, who brings hundreds of examples of where the Man D'Omer and the Gemara is adjusted, I'll feed the sugya, to match what it is that he's saying. D'Omer B'Yochan, Mishom R'Bishim V'Yochan, Mutar V'Hitgarot B'Sha'im B'Olam HaZeh. Now this, of course, relates to both of the sugyas that we had before, and puts them together. We were talking before about Gamen Osher Tzadik Lo Tov, and so on and so forth. In other words, how is the Tzadik supposed to respond in taking the place of God, so to speak, in the world? And then we spoke about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own Hanhaga, which appears to be random and leaving Rishayim around and so on. So here, the question is, can a Tzadik start up with a Rosh? Can he say, okay, I can't tolerate it, I'm going to do something? Says Rav Shimon bar Yochai, here another mimer quoted by Rabbi Yochanan, Mutar l'yitgarot b'rishayim b'olam hazeh. You can start up with them. Shema ozvei Torah yahalalu resha, v'shomrei Torah yitgaru bam. They may sing the praises of evil, but those who are shomer Torah, they can go and challenge them. Tanya nami achi Rabbi Dustoy bar Rabbi Maton omer, Mutar l'yitgarot b'rishayim b'olam hazeh, Shema ozvei Torah yahalalu resha, v'im lakshecha adam lomar. If somebody whispers in your ears and says, now wait a minute, don't be such a kanoi. V'aktiv al titchar b'mreim v'al tikanei b'osei avla. Don't start up with evildoers, and don't compete with evildoers, and don't be mekaneh, don't be a tanoi against Osei Avla. And Marlo, tell that guy to his face, Bishalo Libono Kvo American. It's a guy who doesn't have guts, and who doesn't trust his own tzidkis. He's the guy who's saying that. Because the meaning of that pasuk is, Al titchar b'mereim, don't compete with evildoers. Doesn't mean don't compete with them against them. It means don't compete with them on what they're doing. Because every tanoi has got a little bit of jealousy, you know, gosh, he gets so many fun things, you know. So let me wipe them out. You know, so he presents himself as a kanoi. He's really the kanoi. So al tischar b'mereim means don't compete with them. Al tikaneh b'osei avla means don't be jealous of osei avla, meaning liyot ki osei avla, to act the way do that. They do. Romer, like it says, ayikaneh b'tcha b'chatayim kim b'yirat Hashem kal hayom. Don't be jealous of sin. You want to be jealous of something, be jealous of people who achieve yirat Hashem. Hey, wait a minute, but this isn't true. Didn't Rabbi Yitzchak say, im ra'ita rashash asha'am esacheket lo, al titgarebo. He says, don't start up with a rasha. Because the pasuk says, yachilu drachav b'chol eit. That Russia is always successful. It's amazing. You see these horrific people. They're the most successful people on earth. It's almost a joke. The worse they are, the more successful they're going to be. See, Achil Brachav B'chol Eich, the guy makes it all the time. The low, oh, so you figure, okay, you know what? I'll drag him into court. I'll bring him to Beis Din. Guess who wins?
You lose.
Zoche B'din. He ends up winning. He'll always win. Shenema Morel Mishpatech Aminegdo. The Mishpat HaShemayim is way, way above him. Nothing to do with him. Below Od El Ashuro Ed Tzarab. Not only that, but he ends up seeing the collapse of those that are against him. Shenema Kol Tzarab Yafiach Be'er. He blows all of his enemies away. Just blows them away. So how do you explain that? Well, Lokash Abimila Gidei Abimila Ishmael. We could say that here it's talking about on a personal level. You got this Russia, you want to go fight him because you need something and he's done something to you. No, you're not going to win. Forget it. Don't start up with it. But if the question is over here, he's going out. The herd Claudius throw, or he's doing up there, it's whatever. You want to make a stand? You can make a stand. Levi Deva, or you know what? Maybe you can't make a stand. Maybe Hava Hava Mila Shemaya, maybe indeed both are talking about, even in terms of mitzvahs and so on. Velo Kasha, all it says over here is what Yitzchak says. A Rosh Hashah Sha'am Misacheket Lo. When things are going good for a Rosh, don't start. Okay, that's different. That's a Rosh Hashah Sha'am Misacheket Lo. And I'm talking about when I said you can start up with a Shayim, that's just a normal Rosh. Rosh Hashayim Sha'am Misacheket Lo. The Ibai Deva, or you know what? Maybe even both cases are talking about a Rosh Hashanah Mizrachet Lo. And both cases are talking about even vis-a-vis Shambayim. And nonetheless, a Tzadik She'eino Gamur, look how interwound the two sugyas are, a Tzadik She'eino Gamur shouldn't start up with a Rosh Hashanah, and a Tzadik Gomer can start up even the Rosh Hashanah Mizrachet Lo. The Amar Ravuna Maidichtiv, notice the deed in the Pasuk. Ravuna points out, what is the meaning of the Pasuk that says, Lama Tavit Bogdim, Taharish Bivala Rasha Tzadik Bimenu? Why do you sit there and look, O Lord, when a Rasha swallows up the man who is more righteous than he is? Notice that it says, wait a second, Rasha Bolei Tzadik? Is that really true? A Rasha can just swallow up a Tzadik like nothing? Doesn't it say, Hashem lo yaz, it says, Sofer Rasha Ava Tzadik Bevakesh Hamito, Hashem lo yaz Veno Biyado. And it says, Lo Yonel Tzadik Kol Ava. You're saying, Bivlo Rasha Tzadik, a Rasha can just swallow? So look carefully at the words. It says, Bivlo Rasha Tzadik Mimenu. Someone who relative to him is a Tzadik, he can swallow. Someone who is objectively a Tzadik, he can't swallow. Those are different issues. Don't start up with a guy because you're better than he is, because that doesn't make any difference. Are you perfect? You're not perfect? Don't start. So that's the pshat. Tzadik gomor eino boleya. Or could be vibay deima sha'am misacheket lo shayni. Now this is very strange because we already took into consideration sha'am misacheket lo. So what are we going back on sha'am misacheket lo? There's some, actually, what a strange coincidence, that Reuven Margolius is the one who has the suggestion that sha'am misacheket lo over here means a tzadik sha'am misacheket lo. It's just very far-fetched. And in fact, Reb Tzadik points out that it never uses the word misacheket for a tzaddik. It uses omedet. Always. The laugh is a reference to Resha. Okay, so, your luck is smiling on you, but it's just, it's just a passing smile. So somewhere in the pshat is like this. Before we were talking about a Rasha, that means an individual who is a bar mazel. There's certain type of people that they're successful people. It's not at a particular time. Over here, we're talking about a person, he's in a moment of great success. Don't try to attack it at that moment. We're not talking about the element of, in fact, in general, this is a successful person. That was the sugya we talked about at the beginning. Continuing now to show the interrelationship of these two sugyas, which we talked about yesterday in terms of Elohei Abraham Be'ezro, who we now see as the mocker of the Hanhoga, of having a mocker HaMikdash and a Simcha a power of Mikdash HaShemim Laman Adoshem, that idea. Here we take it further. Somebody has a Mokam that's Kavua. Oivav Noflim Tachkav. If you're talking about the idea of your power of Hanhoga in the world, you also gain the power to fight. Your enemies will fall before you. Shinemra B'samti Mokom L'Ami Yisrael. Unetati V'Shachem Tachkav V'lo Yirgaz Od. So, in building a Beit HaMikdash, those vicious people will no longer be able to torture my people the way they used to. Why? Because v'samti makom, there will be a makom kavua. Wait a minute. Ravuna Rami, Ravuna points out a contradiction. The same pasuk that occurs here in Shmuel occurs word for word in Divrei Hayomi, but with one change. Instead of saying, lo yachud b'nei avla la'anoto, it says, b'nei avla l'chaloto. I mean, what's the charge? Will the makom prevent b'nei avla from hurting, or will it only prevent them from completely destroying, but they will still be able to hurt? Which one is true? And he answered, that at the beginning over there, we're talking about the beginning of the Beit HaMikdash, indeed, it would prevent even from pain. But after all of the chatoyim and generations of having a Beit HaMikdash and not being able to use it properly, then it's only l'chaloto. It could prevent the destruction of Israel, but not prevent the pain. All right, I suppose we'll have to end here. It's getting a little...